Happy birthday. And that was for Luke Hoskin, but he's not here. Anybody had their birthday this week? Mr. McGregor, was it Mr. McGregor? How old were you then? Yeah. Happy birthday. Hallelujah. How many people are getting old? Anybody getting old? Everybody's getting old. Well, that's good. Praise the Lord. We are in the same boat, aren't we? The great news is Jesus is older than you. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Praise the Lord. Hey, glory to God. We're talking on missions. Many times when we talk on missions, people switch off. Because we want to talk on the power of God and the things of faith, and we want God to speak to our needs, and sometimes we need to address the needs of God. God has a need of you. God gets lonely for you and I. And God loves the world. Praise the Lord. We have no problem with worship. In fact, worship is one of the biggest industry in the Christian church today. We've got worship albums from everywhere. We've got people cutting CDs because they want to sing songs to the Lord. And many times that brings in a lot of revenue into the life of the church. But very few people understand that missions is born out of worship. That it's no good worshiping God if there's not going to be any mission work. In fact, we fall far short of the purpose of God if all we do is sing songs to the Lord and worship God without touching the lives of others. Missions was born in the context of worship. When they came to Jesus and they worshiped Him, Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me that you might go and make disciples of all nations." When we have worship concerts, people come from multiplied places and avenues to stand together and to sing songs to the Lord. Many of the worship albums that you receive in the mail, some of you that are in the music industry and do worship in the church, those albums are cut or recorded in live concerts where multiplied thousands of people and instruments are played and songs and singers' voices are lifted to God in worship. And there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's all we have, there is something wrong with the Christian church. Now this is what the Bible says, and let me read it to you from Matthew 28. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things of power, all things of grace, all things pertaining your needs.'" But that was born out of the context of worship when the disciples came and they worshiped Him. And then in the context of worship, missions is born. Are you all right? And many times when a missions offering is just a token offering, and we just tip God when it comes to missions, when we share that God had only one son, and He sent him as a missionary. He died on the mission field. Many times when we send missionaries away, they come home, we want them to come home. Well, there was one missionary at least that never came home. God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And if we are going to worship God, we have to be involved in missions. You can't do one without the other. Are you okay? Have a look at Acts 13. God told them to go into the whole world and preach the gospel, but they stayed in Jerusalem. Persecution came and dispersed them. And in Acts 13, hallelujah, a church in Antioch. We don't know who started that church. Antioch is a port city and the Orontes River. And port cities have prostitutes, port cities have traffic, port cities. They become the gateway into a city. But here is a church in Antioch, probably started by a lay person that ran away from Jerusalem in the time of the persecution. And here the Bible says, now in the church that was at Antioch, that was a missions church. All our spiritual roots go back to that church. Whether you live in Wanganui, whatever era you're in, whatever age you're in, if you trace your spiritual whakapapa, it goes back to the church in Antioch. That church was a mission-sending church. Are you all right? Let me read. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit spoke and said this, "Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them away. The church, the whole church, was involved in missions. They may not all go away, but they are all involved. Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Now, who sent them? The church sent them, but it says being sent out by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God is involved in missions. And it's not just the Holy Ghost doing His thing. It's the Holy Ghost and the church. The Holy Ghost anoints people, but the church sends them forth. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is also the sender. Are you all right? But that mission trip that started the church, that birthed the church in Europe and come all the way to Wanganui where you and I are, was born in the context of worship. As they worshiped the Lord and fasted. Now, we just finished worshiping God this morning. Many times we worship God and we go home, we had a great time in the presence of God. What about God's heart for missions? Are you all right? Say amen. When Isaiah was in the temple, did Isaiah go to the temple to have a cup of tea? I don't think he was there. I think he was there praying and worshiping, seeking the face of God. And in that context, he saw God sitting on his throne, crying out with a cry. Who's gonna go? And we sang that song this morning. Holy, holy, holy. That's a song of the seraphims. And it comes out of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Hallelujah. Seraphims, each having six wings. With two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, two they flew. And one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The whole earth. The whole what? The whole church? No, the whole earth. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Habakkuk said, there's going to come a time when the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And here is God sitting on his throne, crying out for a missionary to go. We love to worship. We love songs. Hallelujah. We love to sing songs to God. But when it comes to missions, it's another thing altogether. We think missions is, when we have missionaries come, hardly anybody comes to church. Because we think, well, he's not powerful enough. Now, Paul was probably the most powerful man in the New Testament outside of Christ, and he was a missionary. How powerful do you want a missionary to be? I'm not angry. But in the context of Isaiah in the temple, connecting with God, he saw a vision of the eternal God, high and lifted up, with cherubims worshiping him, and God saying, who shall go for us? Hallelujah. Are you okay? Praise the Lord. Hey, you can say amen. You can smile at me. I haven't been here for two Sundays. Give me a break. Hallelujah. And the seraphims came to worship. Well, they are there all the time. Hallelujah. They worship. They cover their face. They cover their feet. We shared that before. That the covering of the face and the covering of the feet is an act of worship. But the flying is an act of service. They had six wings. They worship and they serve. The church should worship and serve. We can't just worship God and stay like monks in a monastery. We have to serve God. And to serve God, we have to be involved in our community and the world. Hallelujah. It was a great thing when Fear and I went to India some years ago. And they took an offering and gave it the offering to us. And I said to them, I can't take this offering. And the superintendent of South India said to me, you have served us for many years. You have helped us plant churches. You have helped us with this and that. Because we have been a nation that received missions. Today, we are actually able to give an offering. We never used to be able to give offerings to visiting ministers. We couldn't afford it. But today, we can give an offering. Please, please receive our offering. That was tremendous. Now, in 1988, there was 170 Assemblies of God churches in South India. That's just Assemblies of God. Not mentioning the Baptists and the other churches that are having missions in South India. That was 1988, 170 Assemblies of God churches. When Fear and I went, when did we go? 4 or 5 years ago? They had 4,000 churches in between 1988 and a few years ago, 4,000 plus churches. And some of those churches are so large, they have 3 services a day because there's not enough room in the building to host them. Now, Indians many times don't sit on seats. They have a few seats, but the rest sit on the floor. So there's a lot of space, but they can't fit them in. Hello? I'll say South India is probably more Christian than New Zealand. Thousands upon thousands we preach. The largest church we preach at in anywhere we go is in South India. We preach at a church in Chennai. 32,000 Indians come to the Lord. 32,000. I mean, they have 11 services every Sunday. 35,000. 11 services every Sunday. 4 English-speaking services and 7 Tamil-speaking services. 6,500 come in and 1,000 go upstairs to the English-speaking service. 4 times, 4,000 and 6,500 people come to the downstairs auditorium. There's not a church in Australasia that's equal the number of the people in that church. And yet we've got more money. Hello? Many times we are selfish. Let me read this to you. We live in a generation where secular, the Ami generation, it says, where secular humanists, even in the pulpit, have fanned the flames of narcissism, hedonism, and self-gratification. The West has never had so much stuff and been so unhappy. He's talking to the church. Millions are looking within for happiness, but the only problem is that does not work. You were not self-created. You can't tell yourself the purpose for which you were created. There is a great truth in the words, look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest. Are you all right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it was lovely because when Fear and I were pastoring in Mangaweka, we planted 50 churches in South India. From a little church in Mangaweka, with 92 people in the village and 130 people in the church. That's nice. You've got a church bigger than the village. But we planted 50 churches there by partnering with the South India Assemblies of God and planted 50 churches. How much can we do with the number of our church? Hallelujah. Are you okay? Say amen. Missions is done by the whole church. There are those that equip. We help people to understand what missions is about. There are people that send others, and there are people that go. Hallelujah. Now, many people know Hudson Taylor, the work he did in the inland China missions. But very few people know a man named William Berger. William Berger was the sponsor, the man that sent Hudson Taylor. And yet, we never hear of Berger, we hear of Taylor. Everybody's involved. Now, many of us will never be on the mission field, but we can be involved in what happens in the mission field. Are you all right? In Samoa, many years ago, we had the wars with Tonga and Fiji, and we had our own wars within ourselves. And when soldiers go to war, the people that stay behind worship. It's a fantastic concept that the goers and the worshipers, they seem to merge in together, and you don't realize how biblical that is. They go to war, there's a worshiper that's worshiping and is staying home, praying, interceding for them, and their part in the war is worship. And he worships on their behalf. They go fight, he stays worship. They call that the tai, and they call this the tapuai. The tai and the tapuai. Tapuai is worship, tai is going, leading, whether he goes to war or goes fishing. Now, because it's a very poor community, when people go fishing, they go in all sorts of weathers. And they may not catch any fish if the weather is rough. But when they go tai and there stays the tapua. This service and worshiping going together. And he's involved with that's going, the one that's going. He's involved because he's involved. And they have a saying, ele sili le tai le tapua. The one that goes is not greater than the one that worships. They are all involved. The one that goes fishing or goes out to war has as much an important part as the one that stays behind and worships on their behalf. Are you all right? And the same thing in the Bible. You can't have worship without going. And you can't go unless there's worship. Are you all right? Say amen. Born out of the context of worship is this thing called missions, where we reach out to the lives of those that don't know God. Why? Because the glory of God must cover the earth. Now, many of us have resigned at the Islamism will cover the earth. Now we just give up. If they pass the gay marriage, fine. We just give up. We're not supposed to be just worshippers. We're supposed to be an army with the high praises of God in our mouths and a two-edged sword with our hands. Many times we're so passive as a church. We just leave it to the very few when the missions is a thing that the whole church is involved in. I can remember some years ago when the missions offering of our church bi-monthly, well, every month we take them, we'll be lucky if we have 400. That's a monthly offering for missions. And guess what? Almost 90% of that offering was from Fear and I. Hello? I'm just saying this to challenge you because we can't just have missions done by a few. We have to have mission. We have to have the whole church involved in missions. If you think, well, I'm too poor. Let me say this. You're never too poor to be involved. The poor you'll always have with you. And sometimes you need an Elijah to force the poor to give. And when Elijah forced the widow to give, the widow said, I'm so poor, I'm going to die. Elijah said, go die. Before you die, make me a fish or make me a cake. Give me some water. And he virtually forced the lady to give him what she had left. And when she did, now many people quote the verse, God shall supply all your needs according to your riches, his riches in glory by Christ. You can't quote that verse. Why? Because that verse was given to a missionary because the missionary was given by a missionary to a church that gave the missionary an offering. It has to do in the context of the missionary offering that the missionary said, well, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Are you all right? Very quiet. Had a missionary came back and very broken. One person went to get him from the wharf and came in and lost his wife and family at the mission field and went to the prayer meeting. And all they were praying was, Lord, give me another car. Lord, we need a TV. And the man cried. And he got up and he said, no wonder I lost my wife and children in the mission field. I'm out there doing something. And you're here asking God for more stuff and more stuff and more stuff. If you look at your house, you've got enough stuff between now and the day you go to Aramoho. You don't need another Bible. You don't need another book. You don't need another shirt. What about Jesus? He died naked that the world might be saved. He died hungry. Died without a family. Are you okay? There's a cry from heaven. He said, who will go for us? There's a cry from hell. Man said, Father Abraham, sent Lazarus. Got five brothers at home. None of them know the Lord. Tell them not to come to this place. This is a shocking, horrible place. That man that said that from hell is still in hell today. There's a cry from hell for missions. There's a cry from heaven for missions. There's a cry from within for missions. Paul said, woe is me if I preach not this gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. How can they hear if no one is sent? How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a missionary going and telling them? There's a cry from within the heart of the one that's truly passionate for God, for people to get saved, for missions to happen, to be part of the church. There's a cry from heaven, a cry from hell, a cry from within, and a cry from without. Come over to Macedonia and help us. God sent a missionary to Nineveh, and he went to Nineveh, but he didn't like the Ninevites. And then got so angry at God, sat under that tree. What's the name of the tree? I know the name of the tree in Samoan. Kikayona. And he sat under that tree and packed a sad. And a worm came up overnight and ate the tree. What was God saying? God was saying, your prosperity is still of me. I can take it away overnight. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much you've got. A worm could come overnight and take everything away. And God said, Jonah is never again mentioned in the Bible. He said, God said, how can you not love the people who can't even discern their right from their left? There are people out there that need Jesus. God died for the world. We can't just live here singing our worship songs and not be involved. Where's the compassion of the scale of the man with the scarred hands? The nail scarred hands of the one that died on the tree that you and I might live. Hallelujah. Are you all right? Have a look at Joshua. You say, what has Joshua got to do with missions? I'll make it do with missions. Hallelujah. Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. And verse 3. Now let me read from verse 2, give you a better context. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said, do not let all the people go up, but let about two or three thousand men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. They said, don't let the whole church go up. Just let the leadership do missions. They're just, you know, they can do it. No, not a problem. They had the worst defeat of their lives. They had just conquered Jericho. How did they conquer Jericho? Because they did it together. They conquered Jericho when everybody thought it was impossible. Even the inhabitants of Jericho did not know it was going to be defeated. Hallelujah. But they did it together. And then when they came to Ai, Joshua sent out spies. Now, there's nothing wrong with sending out spies, but men, they sent out 12 spies and they defeated the nation. The spies defeated the nation. Here again, the spies defeated the nations. They sent 12 spies and 10 came back, said, we can't do it. And the whole nation believed the 10, and they got totally defeated. When they have traveled 40 years, they're just about to their promised land, and then they send out 12 spies. Have you talked to Palti lately? You say, who's Palti? Who's Palti? Well, he was one of the spies. We don't know that because we only talk about the two spies. the one that came back and said, we can do it. Hallelujah. These spies came back and they said, well, many times the counsel of the spies is not good. Yet we say, well, let's go spy out the land. There's nothing wrong with that. But many times when we spy out the land before we strategize our attack, we are not walking by faith. Hello? We're trying to strategize after the report. And many times, there's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it's wise, but many times we don't live by faith because we are waiting on the spies to bring back a report. And most times, if you send the wrong spies, hello? And they brought back a report and they went to defeat Ai and got totally walloped. See, many times we bury our Babylonian garments in our tent. We bury our shekels and our silver in our tent and wonder why we get defeated so many times. Because Achan buried a Babylonian garment. There's something wrong when part of the church only do missions. Because when we do that, there are many Babylonian garments that are buried. When they are meant to be offered to God. I told you I'll make it look like missions. Now have a look at Joshua chapter 8. And verse 1. This is after the defeat and God now coming on the scene and telling them what to do. And said, now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take half the people of war. Take all the people of war with you. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. It has to do with all of us doing missions. Not all of us may go. But all of us can be involved. As we shared last time, the court of the Gentiles was the only time, well, one of the few times that Jesus was angry. When he came into the court of the Gentiles and they were misspending the fund. And he said, get out of here. This is a house of prayer for all nations. Jesus was angry because the missions fund that was meant to fund the court of the Gentiles was being misused. You may say, where is that fund? It's in your pocket. God has given to you money for the Gentiles. It doesn't actually belong to you. You have to give it to Him. We can't send missions with thin air. We support missions in Cambodia, in India, in China. Hallelujah. We have a mission in Siberia. And we can't just fund it with just prayer alone. Hello? We have to be all involved. Whether it's 5 cents, $5, 500, or 5,000. Hallelujah. From the poorest, the least to the greatest. Everyone has to be involved. There are those that go. There are those that worship. And we propel those that go, not just by our worship, but by our giving. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we pray that we'll have your heart. That the theory that we have, everything should be done together, will not be just a theory. It's a practice that we are involved in. Because
Your glory needs to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We worship you this morning. We sang, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty. Same song that was sung by the seraphims to a prophet who was just about to be commissioned to the mission field. Help us to understand that we would not have been part of the kingdom had we not heard the gospel. And we would not have heard the gospel if none was sent. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. May the doorposts of our hearts be moved with a cry from heaven, who will go? May our response be the response of the prophet who said, here am I, sent me. Help us to be a sending church. Help us to be a going church. Help us to be an equipping church. Because you want your people to be involved. The passion of our Savior be our passion. Hallelujah. Your last commandment be our first priority. Help us, Lord God, to know, to build the courts of the Gentiles, to touch the lives of those that don't know you. Sometimes we've been saved so long, we don't know what it's like to be unsaved. We don't know what it's like to be without hope. We've got a glorious hope. Help us to know that there are millions out there who don't know that hope. And help us together to be ones that you sent. Sent by the Holy Spirit. Sent by the church. Equipped by the Holy Spirit. Equipped by the church. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Go sent with the grace and the worship of the church. Bless your people this morning. Help us to give with generosity of heart. Give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll receive the offering. The missions offering. If I can have the baskets. Can somebody get the baskets for the missions offering? Hallelujah. Can we sing that song again?